Hey everyone, welcome to the Here to Listen podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Durge, and today I'm joined by Cree rising star, CB. Tell me why, with more than 3 million streams, CB is an award-winning singer, songwriter, making waves with their music while proudly showcasing their Indigenous identity and being unapologetically themselves as a trans, queer, and non-binary artist ready to break the mold of what it means to be a pop star. Please welcome to the show, CB. Hi, CB. I've been listening nonstop to your latest single, YOY, which is incredible. And the music video has a lot of symbolism there, I feel. So I'd love to start there, if that's okay to jump in and really talk about the meaning behind that music video for you.
It really like centered around my director's vision, which like I really love. His name is Alex Fuentes, and he's an incredible filmmaker. And I basically came with just the elements that I wanted in the video, and not a huge direction. But obviously, in listening to this song himself, he had a vision that came to him. You know, I came with some elements that I wanted, like around consumption and around the symbolism or the representation of my mental illness or my, I'd say like the weight that I put on my own shoulders. And so he took that idea and he just ran with it. And I really loved what he did with it, because it encapsulated the story that I wanted to put out there, which is like, yeah, I can be a little hard on myself, you know? And I think that symbolism is like really represented in like some of those like really like heavier, darker shots. But there's also like the lighter moments, and like maybe that does kind of center around consumption, but there are those like beautiful, like lighter moments that feel represented in the film by like the like visually lighter moments. And I love the duality, or the juxtaposition of it, whereas like it can be really, especially with mental illness, man, it can be really, really dark, and then sometimes it's really light. And I love that he even found a way to take the element of introducing like the more magical, the more fantastical CV.
And the queen part as well. At the very end, yes. There was that nod where you have the crown, and it's just a quick shot. So yes, what does that represent? Part. That's the fantasy part.
I really love this new direction that I'm going in visually, because I like I said, I love fantasy, and even the crown like represents how I feel like this symbol of a crown has its connotations. It's especially to my people, like this negative connotation around, you know, our colonizers. But when I wear the crown, I'm the queen. You know, I am the fantasy, you know. And yeah. I love that, because I'm like retaking my own narrative around it, or what I feel is my narrative.
Wow. I knew there was symbolism in there, but for you to explain it like that, there's really so much that goes into it, and the imagery. And it seems like you really love to pair your music and the poetry of the lyrics with those visuals. It must be such a fun process for you.
Yeah, totally. I'm currently working on another music video for another single that's coming out. And I really love the process of like, because here's the thing, I'm not a filmmaker. I don't make films, but I'm going to blame and credit my ADHD for this. I really love thinking like conceptually about projects. I love building projects out like that. So when it comes time to think of a music video, because I have my own attachments to my music. When I write my songs, obviously I'm not thinking about this like fantasy creature living in the woods, getting heartbroken, you know, and I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about like, what is my inspiration for this, to these, you know, lyrics or the story that I'm telling. But it's still CB that sings them. It's still CB it's my job basically to carry on this narrative, what my story, I want like people to see my story as. And so I'm really excited about this next music video, because I really do enjoy just like creating concepts that, and finding creative ways with other human beings to fulfill those concepts. So yeah, I'm super, yeah, I love making music and then finding visuals for it, because I'm also a visual artist. So I do like create visual artworks. So I think this, in creating like music videos, that's a really cool way to like combine those mediums. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those lyrics in YOY, the lyrics, they're quite deep, especially one of the first lines, which is getting high instead of getting help. Is that something that you felt before?
I don't feel it before. I feel it now. I definitely.
Really?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with depression when I was like 12, or I think I was 12. And, you know, they wanted to medicate me when I was, you know, only 12 years old, and I started it for a little bit, but I really didn't. My family was worried because, you know, those pills are addictive, but also I just didn't want to be on pills for the rest of my life. So, and of course, I not to say that like going on pills is the, like taking medication for your illness is bad. Of course not. Like, people should obviously be medicated if they need medication. But personally, I've been surviving with my mental illness for over 10 years now. And so to think like if I had been medicated that full time, like I don't know what the physical repercussions would be. But that goes hand in hand with the fact that I've been self-medicating for a long time too. And that's with cannabis. So yeah, when I wrote that lyric, and when I wrote this song, really, I was really nervous about the content because it is pretty vulnerable, like talking about consumption, talking about, you know, mental illness.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing. It's pretty vulnerable. And so YOY for me was like, I don't know, I just really wanted to sing it. And I just really wanted, it was just so easy to write, you know, it was like, and my producer, Jackie Levere, you know, and I said how like this song that we made my previous project together under my previous artist name, but this project, the YOY, was probably the most like easiest song for us to like get out, you know, because I in my own process of writing, I tend to spend a lot of time storytelling before the final song is done, you know.
Yeah.
And I think because Jackie has known me for a while, like long enough to understand who I am as a person and like what are my coping mechanisms. It was really easy to have this story come out, or not story, but the storytelling come out. I really wanted this art to like be reflective of who I am as a person and show that like I'm still magical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still magical, you know?
Yeah.
That's also something that I don't really talk about as an artist, because I'm so focused on making music and making art, and I don't really talk about like how much work I put into just being like a normal human, like outside of the artistry stuff, you know, like you know, like obviously the depression has a part to play, but like how I'm literally trying to heal my family line, you know, like I'm trying to end generational curses in my family. And that includes like being there or being responsible for people that, you know, you'd think that a 22-year-old wouldn't be responsible for.
Yeah.
And sometimes it includes my parents. So yeah, I definitely like didn't have an easy childhood. I had I did have a loving childhood though. I did have a lot of particularly matriarchs take care of me, like my grandmother, my aunties, and my mom. Like a lot of their labor and their love and sweat and tears went into taking care of me and making sure I'm okay.
Wow, thank you for opening up about that as well. And you know, in your, you do really get vulnerable in your music and also your music videos. Your music video for Love Is Up the River, you actually dedicate the song to the first girl you ever loved, and you dedicate the music video to the first woman who ever loved you, which it seems is your mom based on the music video. But I'd love for you to share more about what went into that songwriting process and inspired it, and also made you decide to seemingly dedicate the music video itself to your mom?
That's a great question, by the way.
Thank you.
I did start writing Love Is at the River when I was pretty young, because I fell in love with I understood that I was queer, and I fell in love with the girl, and she was the inspiration to writing this song. And so it was somebody who I wasn't ever actually meant to be with, you know? But I still had this tremendous amount of love for her, and I still felt like, you know, it's worth telling the story, because we're two queer res kids, who maybe was unrequired, maybe wasn't, whatever. But my story is worth telling, and especially that of a Indigenous queer love story. I really wanted, I wanted to show, or we wanted to show, this person, this young person, getting prepared for a journey up the river. And I really wanted it in particular because it's kind of a coming of age story, you know? And culturally, well, a lot of my culture I missed out on because a lot of it was erased and not commonly practiced, but there were a lot of milestone ceremonies for a young person, every young person's life. And so one of the things I remember learning was, like, it's relevant for your first snowshoe walk, for example. It's relevant to your life. Like, that's supposed to have a ceremony dedicated to it. I unfortunately never had that ceremony, but it's part of your story to be receiving your culture from your parents and your family. And to be, I'm going to be emotional, and to be honest, I've missed out on a lot of that because it's been erased. Mm-hmm. And my dad, with his own stuff, wasn't particularly proud of being Cree. And so a lot of my access to my culture was through my mom. So for me, it made a lot of sense for this story of someone going up and taking the time to go up the river. It made a lot of sense to credit the person who put all the time and love and culture into me.
Wow.
And that's my mom.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, I wasn't expecting to cry.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, your mom seeing that and understanding the meaning behind it and seeing the music video, I mean, she must have got emotional as well.
Yeah, we when we watched it together, we watched it before we had the final cut. We were in locations where we were in my res with the filmmaker, and Nick showed us what he had condensed to, because we had so much footage, you know, so he had to put it all together himself, by himself. And we watched it together with my mom, and I remember it felt so special to have my mom there.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's the bomb. She's freaking, she's survived so much. Some of the new stuff that's going to be coming out in my next project actually talks about my mom's story, about how she was so resilient, and how she survived 30 years in a very toxic relationship and a toxic marriage, and still raised children and still fought her own intergenerational trauma, her own addictions. My mom is the bomb. And
yeah.
I credit so much of my own strength, so much of my own resilience to my mom.
Wow. I'm sure she's very proud of you. And thank you again for getting vulnerable and sharing that with the listeners and the people watching this interview and myself. The music video is beautiful, and you talked about the different locations that you were shooting on, and you know, those shots of the river and the forests, and it really is beautiful. And you also incorporate your Indigenous culture into it. So how important was that for you to really feature that?
I didn't grow up with those very sacred and very key ceremonies in someone's life, and that's actually something that I had to find after, and even in that, you know, you're like I had my bookum My Kukum, I feel like, was like the closest I had to something that was sacred, because she was a woman of faith, you know.
Eva.
Yeah, how do you
I did my research.
her name? No. Actually, it's pronounced Ifa, because
Eva.
in
Oh.
Cree, or in Inuyumon, traditionally there were no there were some sounds that weren't there. So like V, for example, wasn't a sound that we had, and R's, I believe.
Oh, your voice is so beautiful, especially when you belt. I love that. When did you realize that you could sing?
I think I was probably the last person to realize it.
Really?
I really liked singing, but I didn't have any faith in myself. I didn't have any real, like, I don't know. There was just a part of me that just was like, oh, like, you know, people like Hannah Montana are the ones that are, like, because I grew up on Hannah Montana, and I was like, oh, it's people like her that, like, people like Miley Cyrus that, you know, that go out and be singers and are actual, you know, like, such a Gen Z thing to say, by the way. But I think what happened was after I met my now manager, he came through my territory, and he did a workshop, like a it became a songwriting workshop where they like we wrote music together, and he created it, and he made an album. I really wasn't like somebody who believed in myself enough to be like, yeah, I'm a good singer, record me, you know. I really didn't have that self-confidence or that self-belief. And so a friend of mine who is now like a lifelong friend, she worked at the school, and she like made me go, basically. She forced me to go to his workshop, and she forced me to stay there, and she held my hand to make sure I didn't run away, because I was gonna run away. I wasn't willing to just sit there. Like, you know, that's the thing about like a lot of res kids. A lot of res kids, you know, they take time to warm up to, and warm up to you, especially as somebody who works with youth. Yeah, I can definitely identify with my students when I was that, when I was that teen. Yeah, she like forced me to sit there, and I ended up writing, because in that period, he had like a beat going, they had selected, and I started writing to it, and there were some other of my friends that were there, so I felt safe to write. And my manager's David, he called me up to the front of the room, and he had me like show him the lyrics. But then he looked at me and he was like, "You're a singer, though. Like, you're a singer, right?" Like, it was a question, but it was a statement. Like, you're a singer, and he didn't know that. How could he have known that, you know? And so I said, "Yeah," and that was the first time I ever recorded myself. But even then, you know, there was like, once I heard my recording of myself, I was like, oh, okay, like, it's something that I can do. I still didn't have like the utmost faith in myself. But it's funny, is, and I don't really talk about this a lot, but I remember there was this one night in my res where there was like a Christmas meal for the teachers, and my mom is a teacher, so she brought me with her. And so funny, they did like karaoke. And I didn't have any courage to like do the karaoke while there were the other teachers, you know. So when the night was over and everyone was leaving, I asked the karaoke dude, he used to be my gym teacher, I asked him if I could sing a song, and he said okay. So he put in, actually it was an Adele song, it was a One and Only, which is a very difficult song to sing, because, you know, it's Adele, you know. And so,
Yeah.
but I sang it. And I sang it perfectly, and there was nobody in the gym, just me and this guy, you know, having this special moment. But it was a moment of like, I have skill, I am gifted. And for me, that was really the first time that I truly like had faith in my voice. And since then, I've been learning to trust it more, and it really makes a difference. And it also, yeah, there were periods of time where I didn't make that much music because, you know, mental health things or housing issues. Yeah, really, That was a really different time. And it's funny because now I have like all the faith in myself and all the worth in my voice, you know, or the trust in my voice.
Yeah, I mean, even when you're going through, you know, mental health, whether it's struggles, issues, or housing, you're going through maybe struggles with housing. Did it feel like music was kind of an escape?
You know what it is, actually? I think what it was, and this is how you can, I think for me, or what is an indicator for me, what my mental health is, okay? My mom told me, like, she knows I'm doing better when she hears me singing. Yeah. And
Wow.
I think that really shows in like my production, like, you know, like with 2023, it took me a while to like start making music again, you know,
Yeah.
and I just like taking care of my well-being. It's also still like doing shows and doing other artist things, and like, I'm keeping myself busy and I'm being productive and I'm living the life that I really benefits me as like a human, not necessarily like, you know, like I'm really grateful, for example, like for the past, since I think 2022 or since 2021, I've been full time as an artist. And that means that I don't have to work a 9-to-5, you know, and that's not working. And here's a big shocker, not working a 9-to-5 has been so good for my mental health. So good. And so, yeah, like I've really been spending time actually making art. I've been beating, I've been singing. And yeah, like my mental health, it's true. You know, when you take it, I also go to therapy. I do self-medicate with cannabis, but I also go to therapy. Like that's something that I hold very dear to my heart. Especially like, you know, coming from the communities that I come from, I know that if I don't take care of myself, like I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not taking care of my family line. I'm not taking care of the people that care for me, and I'm not taking care of who I'm trying to be, and the role model that I'm trying to be for my youth. Because yeah, I'm making music and I'm playing shows. Like this summer, I've been so busy. I'm so happy with how busy I've been.
And sharing your talents with the world. Wow, that's impactful. Your mom saying that. You had me like kind of tearing up, feeling emotional with that. What would you say to your younger self?
That's a good one. I would definitely tell CB that their name is CB, and it's okay to ask people to respect you as CB. I would definitely tell them that though there is incredible conflict between yourself and your family members, that you're all just trying to recover from something that you had nothing to do with. And did nothing to deserve happen to you or your family. And I would just give like so much fucking love to that little kid. Like so much love. Like I've always been such like a physically affectionate person. But I feel like it would be really cool to just fucking squeeze the shit out of little me, you know, and be like, listen, honey, like, it's rough, but you're fucking resilient and you're strong and you're loving anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's we'll focus on some more positive now. I know
Okay.
I've been asking some
Sorry.
deep questions, and I'm so grateful that you've opened up. Like it's been such a I mean, just meeting you today, I already feel connected to, you know, your story and you opening up, and I already felt connected to your music. So I really appreciate that. I would love to know something that you're really excited about right now, something that excites you. I know you're working on your self-titled upcoming album as well. So if you want to speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, so actually goes back to the therapy. And these past few years, like, I really have been focusing on, like, I think that's also why I've always felt really open, but like there's a certain level of like security that it takes within yourself to be able to be open. And I really, I will credit therapy to that, because they, like, I have multiple therapists. And yeah, it's really changed my life in the sense where, like, I'm more willing to talk about the things that really do hurt, but also the things that are important to me and the stories that are important to me. And so with this next upcoming project, it's really been that. It's really been like an amalgamation of all this progress, all this growth. And it's funny because, you know, you talk to like, you talk to like labels and stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, I wrote this album because of therapy. And they're like, what? You know? But it's real, you know, like going like, when you boil it down to that simple statement, it means nothing. But I literally have spent years talking about very real issues in not only my life, but in my community's lives, in my family's lives, in the life of it as an Indigenous queer person, as a trans person. So it's not like, ooh, I like went, I'm a Gen Z that went to go to therapy and talk about my problems. Like, these are, like, I'm talking about major life issues, like housing crises, like suicide epidemic. Well, I'm like, these are very real, painful things that are not just like, that are so commonly brushed under the rug and not spoken about and not addressed. And what sucks about that is, as an Indigenous person, you think that your pain that you go through every fucking day is invalid, because nobody wants to hear about it, no one wants to talk about it. But it's important to fucking, like, for your own health, your own well-being, to be able to talk about the pain that you've been through, the pain that your family's been through, the pain your family might have put you through, you know, and like how a lot of that is around institutions and is around receiving services or waiting for services. And so therapy for me is like, just the fact that I have access to it is a fucking, it's an act of like radical self-preservation, you know, and to a degree, an act of, what's the word, rebellion. Because I'm not continuing a narrative that already exists, that was created to exist. I'm directly opposing it by taking care of myself, by healing, like I said, trying to heal my family line. And yeah, so for me, like when I say like this, there, this project is like because of 2 years of therapy or years of therapy, I mean it genuinely, you know. Like there's a song that's coming, the one I said that we're trying to make a music video for, or not trying, but are making a music video for. Like, that story for me is the song is a little bit of a leak. The title of the song is called Nightmare. And so for me, like, that kind of the theme of that song is super prevalent to me as someone who's like, culturally, dreams are really important. Dreams were seen as something that, you know, like, you don't take lightly, and they often have meaning and can be life affirming. It also lead to ceremony. It also lead to dream walking, which I'm not, I won't get into that, but it's incredibly relevant. And so when I write a song called Nightmare, you know, it touches on that. And the healing that I have to do, you know, and yeah, I'm super excited because it's all the, this future project is all the work that I've been doing, uncovering and recovering from my own story and my family's story.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right. So I have two more questions for you. How are you going to change the world?
Oh my God. You know, I feel like I would have, maybe last year, if you'd asked me this question, I'd have a bit of a hard time answering, but I feel kind of better about answering it this year or now. So I recognize that I can't save everybody, and I can't, like, I'm not going to move a mountain, but I can climb it, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, like, what I'm really kind of grateful to have found or have understood about who I am as a person is how much I am driven to my communities and bettering the lives of my community members. And so for me, I don't think like I need to go to like eight, you know, like all the continents and spread like the gospel of senior anything. But I think that how I contribute to changing my world is by contributing to my community in the ways that I can. So by showing up in my communities, by creating, by being creating acts of service in toward my communities, and by actively learning and reconnecting to my culture and the land. So yeah, that's how I change my world, and that's how I will change my world.
All right, so my final question is something that I ask all of my guests that come on the show, which is, if you had an autobiography, you know, a book or a movie made about your life, what would the title of that be?
Fuck, it hurts.
Wow. Yeah.
But it gets better. But it gets better.
Okay. So we're going to have It Gets Better in there too.
Yeah.
Wow. Why is that?
I think it just goes back to the therapy and acknowledging with my therapist or because of my therapist how incredibly painful life is. It, regardless if you're Indigenous or not, there is a lot of heartbreak, especially when we talk about things that are out of our control, like climate change, you know, or housing crises, not even just in the reserves, but also in your province, you know, houselessness. So yeah, life is incredibly fucking painful. But like I said, you know, you do the work where you can, and you show up in the ways that you can, and you freaking connect to your people, your culture, your communities, and you serve in the ways that you can. And yeah, it's fucking hard, but there are incredible human beings out there that want to make it better, that actively work as people who I will say like walk in a light or walk in the light, you know. Yeah, that's why.
Wow. And you're doing just that, you know, you're serving your community, giving back to your community, giving back to the world as well with your talent, and also opening up about your story. So thank you so much for joining me today and opening up. And this has been great. It's been really great getting to know you. And I'm really thankful for you sharing all of that today.
Thank you. I will say, like, this has probably been like one of, if not the best interviews I've ever had. So thank you for putting in that like effort and time. And thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's so nice. Of course. And I can't wait to hear what's next on your upcoming project.